Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where Dr. Janine Krause, that's me, gives you, a health junkie, a weekly dose of tools to help you increase your energy and resilience to life stressors.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and today I have Sherry Fernandes. She and I are going to be talking about her new book, Life Mastery, Personal Progression Toward an Infinite Potential. And who doesn't want an infinite potential? I'm so fascinated by developing my potential and watching others develop yours or theirs and talking about how addictive it is to watch the personal development and potential grow. And so Sherry and I are going to be talking about that amongst her book and other things today. So Sherry, welcome to The Health Fix.
Thank you, Janine. Thank you for having me.
Well, you have quite a story. And I think we've got to talk about the rags to riches story because everybody loves those kind of stories.
I love that story.
But I think it also helps us to have that idea of like, okay, she can do it, I can do it. And that concept that, you know, a lot of people write self-help books. I'm a self-help book junkie. I've read a bajillion of them, but I find that I don't always take everything to heart. I start doing different things and then I get stuck and then I self-sabotage. So finding something that's more or less curating my self-potential is very fascinating and takes a different spin on things. So tell us a little bit about how you discovered your potential within and went from the rags to riches concept here.
It's kind of a two-part story. As a child, I'm 65 years old, so I've been around a while. In 1962, I was 7 years old. My parents got divorced, and my mom had four little girls, and she was not well equipped to take care of us. She just wasn't. And so we didn't have, it was a little bit desperate in there, and some unfortunate things happened during that time. But somewhere in that childhood, I wandered a lot and a lot of time alone. We didn't have anything. I mean, there's somebody made us clothes, and it was, you know, we weren't like destitute, but pretty close. And mostly we were emotionally just like, I was just out there, but I had a lot of time to think. And of course the family life was volatile, but I had a lot of time to think. And I somehow got a notion that I was somebody special. I was going to do great things. I think a lot of kids do that, right? No matter what their story, I was going to do great things. And I didn't know how. I was going to be this poor little girl, ragamuffin running around a little town in Utah and going to do great things. But I just knew I was. I just thought, I'm something special. I'm going to do something great. And when I, and then my family life stabilized a little bit in my teen years, had a little bit of stability. But by then I had decided I wanted to do a lot of wild and crazy things. And it was a hippie movement. And, you know, I watched Woodstock at the movies and I'm like, I want that. So I parted away my late teens and my early 20s. And so now, and then I had a baby. And so now I'm married and I have another baby. I've got these two babies and I look crazy about my husband. And we really like each other, but he didn't part away his time too. So we are just broke. We are just like so poor. And, but I still have that feeling from a child that I could have everything. And what I wanted was, I thought to myself, what I want is I want no ceiling on my finances. I want enough money to do whatever I want to do. I don't need yachts and penthouses. It wasn't stuff I wanted. I just didn't want to be limited by the amount of money I had. And I want to be able to have children and still look like the movie stars I admired when I was a child. I still wanted to look sexy and have a good body and healthy and strong and fit. And I missed my education, but I'd been a champion debater in high school and I'm pretty smart and I had a pretty high IQ and I missed the education. I wanted to learn. And it kind of went through that, through all aspects of life. I wanted really good relationships. I wanted to grow spiritually. I wanted to tap into that spiritual self that I'd kind of identified as a child. I wanted all of it. And I really believed I could have it all. I really truly believed I could have it all, but I just didn't know how. So I needed to go to work and figure out. I thought if somebody can do it, I can do it. And I just got to figure how it's done. And so I just went to work reading the book. First book I read was See You at the Top by Zig Ziglar.
Nice.
You got to read that one.
That was a classic.
Everybody knows that one. I read that. I think it was fairly new then. I think it had just been out. But most of those things were geared towards business, which was great. We eventually started our own business and we'd set the goal to be worth $1 million by the time we hit 40, or my husband hit 40. He's a year older than me. So me at 39. And we did that. You know, we were able to do that. We were able to do a lot of things, but we just read the books and we went to seminars and we're still having kids. I have six kids.
Wow. Wow.
I don't know. I wasn't going to have any and then it was six. I don't know how that happened, but and still was able to maintain an attractive, sexy body. And we were able to have the money, our relationship. We've been married 44 years now and we're crazy about each other. And my kids are terrific and I'm well educated and I have a great deep spiritual life. So I had all, I was able to get all those things and just, and better in spades, better than I thought that I would get.
Wow.
Things, my dreams, this is often the way, but what I actually achieved was greater than the dreams that I had. And that often happens. I think that usually happens.
That's impressive. That's impressive. And yeah, it does seem like when people can get the mindset concept, right? Because yes, when we're kids, we're like, I'm going to be an astronaut. I'm going to be this. I mean, I wanted to be a pro snowboarder. And then what happens is people get in your head and then you get in your head. And then all of these things happen, you know, there's, oh, you can't make a living being a pro snowboarder. And then I was like, well, then maybe I want to be a marine biologist. You can't make a living doing that. And so all of these things happen, right? And you take in your head, you're going, oh man, so I just have to figure out how to make money. And then you just end up hustling. And as I can say, as a doctor, it's not this glamorous job that a lot of people, you know, as kids, we think, oh, we're going to have fast cars and we're going to have big houses and all that stuff. And unfortunately, you trade a lot of your time for helping others, which is great, but you don't get the financial kickback from that, yeah. Basically. Or, and so I think for a lot of people, there might be listening to this going, okay, so Sherry, you got to give us the details on how you kept your mind focused on the prize, because there's a lot of side talk. And I'm sure you had that too from family.
Well, the first thing you do is you don't share your dreams with anybody who's going to discourage you. That's the first thing. You just never, ever, ever do that. Rather, no matter how close they are, if your mother or your sister or your brother, hopefully it wouldn't be your spouse. It's going to be a tough road if it's that person. They're not, you're not on the same page. But first of all, you don't share those things with anybody. And you got it. I like Zig Ziglar said, since we're on Zig Ziglar, he said, people say that motivation doesn't last. He said, neither does bathing. That's why we recommend it every day. So you have to do something motivational. And the clients I work with, I require that they do some kind of motivational reading, and preferably reading, and then also listening to something when they're in their car every day, because I can't keep them motivated. I can't keep them motivated at all, but it's hard to build the motivation to last a week with 1 hour a week with me, right? So that keeps them, that kept me focused. And you lose your way a little bit, you know, it's like that, I'd say about airplanes, you know, they're really never completely on course. They sort of keep it between the lines and it kind of goes a little to the right, a little to the left, and they make course corrections. And you have to do that. And sometimes you lose your way a little bit. You have to have a good systems, a good plan. That's what's usually lacking. You know, you said that earlier about you want to accomplish all these things and then, I don't know, well, who knows what happens.
Yeah.
You have to have a good system. It's really all about the systems. That's probably the thing that I teach that is most useful and somewhat unique, not completely unique, but the systems, it's all about the systems. If you have good systems in place, you don't even really need to set the goals. You just plug them into your systems and off you go. I'm not saying you shouldn't set goals, you should, but if you've got good systems, you can almost bypass the whole goal setting process and plug those systems in and they just happen.
You know, there's something to be said about systems for sure. You know, we found that systematizing life, systematizing different things, you have the way to prevent things from derailing you. I would love to hear how, when you have someone first come in and they're coming in and they're going, yeah, I need some clarity. I don't know what direction I'm going. What's the first system you would have them set in place? What would be the first thing?
I'm glad you asked that, because I wanted to mention this in the car lawsuit and you're talking about having these big dreams and people kind of raining on your parade. After they do the assessment, we have an assessment. It's available on our website too, by the way, but we do have an assessment. They do that. And then the very first thing I have them do is start working on a big dreams list. And this is usually tough for people, because what's happened to them is just what you were talking about. These people get in their head. They'll be like, well, I really want to do this, but I'll never have money to do that. I'm like, no. Everything goes on the list. I like to refer to, John Goddard's list. He had Flight of the Moon on his list. He accomplished so many things in his life. Didn't get that one. But you can put anything on that list. So we don't limit it by money. We don't limit it by what you think you're capable of doing. We just, if you've got a dream, it just goes on the list. And that starts getting people thinking about what potential and possibilities, even though it might be like climb Mount Fuji and become a professional snowboarder. It could be anything, you know, it could be speak German, anything that goes on. It could be little things like do a marathon. It's not a little thing. I wouldn't do it. But anything that appeals to them can go on that list. But it starts opening the possibilities of bigger and grander dreams. And so I start there. And then once we get a little bit of idea of where their goals want to go, I start with the systems. As soon as I have enough of their goals that I can see what kind of, where, how they're going to work in the systems, then I start teaching the systems.
Nice.
I just have to have enough goals to see what they want to do enough that we know we can have something that we can work with so that we can show them. Does that make sense? How to put them into the system.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm thinking to myself and going, okay, so you mentioned that you were worth a million, both you and your husband worth a million by 40. A lot of people might be thinking, oh God, well, I'm already 40. Well, I'm 43 as of the time of this recording. So folks might be thinking, what if it's too late?
What not too late.
Someone about that.
No, because really the time frame there would be to say, okay, I started this at 25, but we didn't start really doing anything on that $1 million for a while, right? Because we were trying to feed ourselves and our children, and we were working too. I was doing some daycare, and Ken was working day jobs and night jobs, and they were fairly menial. And we were just trying to figure it out. So those first few years, we were just trying to get our feet on the ground. We were trying to learn the information. We tried a few things that failed. So really, that $1 million, that for being worth $1 million, we went from zero, less than zero, like really dead zero, to that $1 million, probably in the course of about, I'm going to say that it was less than 10 years.
Wow.
Eight years, I'm thinking. We started our business, and we tried a couple other businesses that failed, and then we started the business that our Golden Goose that helped us get there, and we were able to reach that $1 million in worth and value. So yeah, you've got $8. If you're gonna live another 8 years, let's see what you can do.
And of course, you know, I don't want it to be placed all on money, because that's, as we all know, that money really isn't what brings happiness. Happiness comes from within. And like you had mentioned, is that we're designed to be happy, and happiness is coming from developing our potential. And so looking at this,
okay, yes, though, money can give you a lot of means to develop your potential, right? So money is, there's nothing wrong with it. Money and money can help you be happy because it gives you so many more opportunities. I'm a lot happier being able to feed my children than I was when I was wondering if I was going to be able to or not, right?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And yes, it's definitely something that, you know, you have more potential when you do have more money. And so it is this kind of feedback loop that can help us. So in terms of getting into these systems and developing our potential, I've seen some systems be amazing systems, but the person who's trying to carry out the system doesn't have that mental fortitude. And I'm kind of talking about myself a little bit here because I am my own best subject, but I found that we've got these systems that sometimes will buck a little bit, or it might be a system that perhaps we chose that didn't work for us. So what would you say to someone that's like, oh, well, maybe I have systems, but maybe it's me, or maybe I created the wrong system. Do you find that sometimes people do that?
I think that's the, well, okay. So let's go back to the systems. One of the things that systems will do is help you create habits. Yeah. So in the first habit you have to have is to use your system, and they have to be simple. You can do big, elaborate. I think you're probably talking about planner systems and some of that stuff. The systems I teach are so simple. You can do them. Anybody can do them. They're just so simple. They're almost childish. It's using them consistently that makes them work. So you have to want it bad enough to get in the habit of using the system, but it only takes a few minutes to work your system every day. And once you start with, I should probably share what some of these are so we can talk about them more intelligently. But once you just got in place every day, I mark my tracking sheet of the things that I do that day. I just do that every day. Well, then the things on the sheet become automatic, right? Because you're tracking them, you're looking at them, Got to mark those off every day. Does that make sense? So once you have that kind of a system in place, whatever's on that sheet's going to get done, if at all possible, because you're working it down every day. Mm-hmm. Now you've got to want what you want bad enough to work. If you're not willing to take the few minutes to work a system, then you don't want it bad enough. And a lot of people don't, and that's fine. I once saw somebody say, well, I don't like to track my goals, or I don't like to use tracking systems. Well, I'm like, well, that's fine. Good luck, because you can't measure it. You can't manage it. You don't have some system. You're not going anywhere. You might go a little where, but you're not going anywhere near your potential unless you have a system.
This is true. I hear that a lot in my practice. I don't want to track what I'm eating. I don't want to track this, you know, and I don't find that you get success without knowing what you've done in a day, what's been in your mouth, if you're trying to work on weight loss, what, you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah, but if you are not willing to commit to tracking it. I said this briefly and claimed it as my own, but it was Peter Drucker that said, what gets managed, what gets measured gets managed. If you can't measure it, you can't measure it. You kid yourself. And we kid ourselves really easily. We're the easiest person to kid. So you just got to have a system, and you've got to know where you're at. It's just fundamental.
Makes sense. So how do we, in terms of having our systems, how do we develop our physical, spiritual self, relationship self into these systems? How do we pull that in and kind of help ourselves to keep developing our potential?
That's a good question. And it's critically important. Like when I have clients, I've owned businesses. So obviously I could coach somewhat a business. My husband would be marvelous. He does some coaching with me too. Coaching business. And I certainly can coach fitness or relationships, or I could be a spiritual coach. I could do any one of those things separately, but I won't do it. Because if you just work on one area, it's going to cost you too much. You're going to give up somewhere else. So what you're saying is critically important. That's one reason why I offer the assessment so freely. It makes us be honest with ourselves and how we're doing in all areas. And we should take an assessment regularly to make sure that we are progressing in all those. But if you take a look at when you get your systems in place and what's on them, you just have to ask yourself, you know, where's my spiritual growth? Where's my physical fitness? Where's my education? Where are my relationships? And go through it and say, am I looking at these? And every once in a while, you just take stop and maybe do an assessment, or maybe just look at your tracking sheets, your affirmations, and am I missing something? And stop and just ask yourself, like right now, I've got these 6 kids. I have 21 grandchildren, Janine. That's a lot of people in my world. And I'm doing all these interviews, and I've got coaching clients that can sometimes take priority over my family. So I have to stop and say, okay, which of my not talked to this week? Am I talking to all of them regularly? Which of my grandkids haven't I talked to for a while? So you have to do stop and evaluate regularly, and not just throw your whole self into one thing. But the systems will help you do that, because you have things on your, you have things that you're writing that can help you see them and say, oh yeah, remember, I got to do this thing. Does that make sense? Is that helpful?
Yeah. No, it does. It does. Because I think for a lot of us, and you mentioned something that I find is a problem with self-development, because we have different categories like business development. And then there might be like a little component of self-development in there, but it's not completely entwined. And with my aspect of my industry and what I do, I have the physical fitness, and then I have the mindset, and I have the recovery and take care of yourself, and relationships component kind of falls in there. But I think for a lot of folks, maybe some of where they're getting hung up is that they haven't incorporated all aspects of their life into their systems that they're trying to create.
So yeah, we talk about our infinite potential. Our potential isn't just how much money we can make, and we're not going to be happy if we're just pursuing one of those things. This is the old thing we say all the time. If you make $1 billion and you lose your relationships, well, how can you be happy then, right? You can't be happy if your relationships are failing, even though you've got all the money. Or maybe I'm ripping fit and strong and healthy, but I'm broke. Well, that's hard to be happy too. You know, it's not happiness if it's not well-rounded. Not that it's ever perfectly in balance, because life is always, is part of the thing, right? We got to juggle it all the time and make sure that we're doing all the things, but we have to move forward as a whole person We can't just go zooming ahead in one area and expect to be happy. But if we can move forward as a whole person, that's what brings happiness. And we'll jump a little here, head a little in this area, and then maybe head in this area. As long as we're not leaving anything too far behind, it'll all work out.
That makes sense. So describe to us a little bit about what someone might experience. You know, you've got your book and you're kind of going through, I looked through the table of contents to just give me a really good sense of, like, we start with physical self, then we go to spiritual, then we go to relationships, education. Tell us a little bit about what folks need to be thinking about when they're wanting to develop their potential, but they really don't even know who they are. What should they be looking at for the physical, spiritual realm of themselves?
I don't know. I'm wondering, I'm just thinking on my feet here a little bit. If somebody comes to me in coaching and they're a little lost and scattered, I'm actually working with somebody right now. He's young. He's really great. But a little bit scattered, not quite sure. I think that's probably, if you really don't know where you want to start, you probably need a coach or a mentor. But to think about what is most important to me right now and what kind of habits do I need? Almost everybody, even though the dreams that people have, I do mostly entrepreneurs, interestingly enough, and they tend to be really focused on the business side, right? But still, not everybody's entrepreneurs, but almost everybody will start with these habits in different order. Some kind of workout training system. They just need to get to the gym, do something. Maybe they need to get their eating under control. That was a little less common to come up right away. That might be because I work with particularly with people who already got a pretty good grip on that as a rule. And then something spiritual, prayer. Maybe say, I'd really like to have a habit of prayer or some other something in that realm. Usually it is just up and up prayer, surprisingly, to me, surprises me how many people want to work on that. And then they may be something like, I want a better job. I need to start, or I want to do this thing. I need to start reading in my field every day. So let me get a reading habit. So once we start getting a couple habits in line, I think it helps them clarify what they want. Interesting thing. I had Fitmania, which was a fitness business. We had a self-development side to it, which was called Fit Life, but our fitness program rocked. And I had the money to do it any way I wanted. I made sure I did it the very best that it could be done. I wanted the smartest, best information out there. And we got results. And what was so interesting is that once people started getting a handle on their physical self or physical fitness, they started seeing what they could do. They wanted something else. Okay, they were looking for help with finances. We had classes and Ken worked with people on finances. And so they wanted their finances, or maybe they wanted to work on something at work, but they started wanting more. And usually financials was really common. But so once you get the physical self, I'm rambling a bit, but once you get the physical self, not done, because we're never completed, right? We're always got bigger goals. But once we feel like we've got a handle on, okay, I can do this. I am leaner. I'm stronger. I know how to keep doing this. What else can I do? It's like, you know, when you climb a mountain, you're like, oh, that was fun. Let's do the next one, right? Kind of like that. What else is there? What other business are there?
Right. And I think
the answer, I hope it was helpful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's kind of why I wanted to bring it up, because I find a lot of people will not have their health on point or in a state that's balanced enough where they have enough energy, where they have enough brain cells, right? And that's not really true, but where they have enough fuel for their brain cells to be able to create systems that they can stick with. Because if you haven't managed your fatigue or things of that nature, trying to get everything done in a day via system, sometimes I find that people just fall off. So it's interesting that you mentioned the fitness part. And of course now, once you get some success, you have this addiction to it. And mm-hmm. I think we had talked about this at the beginning of the podcast, or actually before we even recorded. And I think this is something that I want folks to hear a little bit about, the addiction to, oh, I got this. Now I can do this. This is where that infinite potential comes from, correct?
Well, we have it innate in us, but it's where we start beginning to see it. That's how we start seeing it. And that's why I put physical first. I learned pretty early that people do better if they start with the physical. And I think a couple of reasons why. First of all, this body is the instrument through which we do everything, that we move, that we work, that we think, that we feel. This body, including our brain, our heart, and everything, this body is our instrument for success. And like any tool, you've got to get it sharpened up and ready to go. so it can be useful to you, right? So you can do the thing, so you can do your craft, whatever it is, the best, you want the best tool possible. So I think that's one reason. Also, physical is easy to measure. I can see what I can look in the mirror. I can preferably not get on the scales, get on a body composition scale. I can look at my diet. I can see how much clearer I feel, how much better I feel. I can see that clearly. And I can take that same discipline now and apply it to some other things. It's easy to manage and measure. So I think those are at least two reasons why the physical starts. And it helps us to see, it feel more valuable too.
Yeah.
But you know, you asked earlier, when somebody doesn't feel, and I think I missed the mark a little bit. They don't know where to start. They don't feel maybe, I don't think you use this word, but worthy, or they don't have a place. Yeah. Just start somewhere. Just start. Physical is probably the place to start, but start somewhere. That's the thing to do. Just start. Do something. Because otherwise, the day goes by, and the next day goes by, and the week goes by, and the month goes by, and the years go by. And one day you find out you're 60 or 70 or 80 years old, and where's your life gone? And you never, you're still a wandering generality, as they say, instead of a meaningful specific.
Oh, man. Yeah, definitely want to avoid that here on my end. And I'm pretty sure folks, they're like, okay, all right, we got to get moving forward and developing our potential. Now, I would love to hear a story of someone that you've coached that you saw them gain this addiction to what's the next thing. Can you share with us a certain person, or even if you want to talk that level too, it's whatever works. But I think folks would love to hear, and I'd love to hear how that kind of played out.
It happens to every single person I coach. Of course, it's not happening. I'm probably not going to coach anymore, but it happens to everybody. Let me think of a really good story. Specifically, I don't want to share anything too personal either, but sure. I've been working with, I always share Lenny. This is a backup story with Lenny. I spoke at a realtors group a while back, about a month ago, 6 weeks ago. And Lenny, who I've been coaching for over a year, now he helps me with my technology and stuff. He's got me this nice Yeti microphone, got me all set up here good, so I sound good when I talk to you. So Lenny, I've worked with for about 15 months. And he's a great, just a really great guy, late 20s. He just has gobbled us up. He had tracking sheets and the systems he's applied. And he had gone from pretty undisciplined, really having some great disciplines in his life and some breakthroughs and some changes in his personality. He had done a marvelous job. Just like one day he came, I was like, he'd kind of come in as this blustery, kind of boyish sort of guy. And he comes in one day, about 6-8 months into it. And I just thought he came in such a settled man. It was just awesome. But I had him, he went with me to this realtors thing. And just at the last minute, I just said, we didn't plan it at all. I just said, Lenny, would you mind telling these guys what Life Masters meant to you? And he got up and he just gave such, I just could not even said anything. I'm a pretty good speaker, but I mean, everything I said was nothing compared to what he did. His testimonial was so moving. Afterwards, one of the women asked if he would coach her, because she was so moved by what he said. But that was fun. It was fun to watch him grow and overcome some bad habits that were pretty, that were destroying his life, and to put some good habits in place, and his love for the programs, and talk about addictive. We're working on a planner, and we have a prototype planner, and it's like this thick, huge thing, because it's just a prototype, right? And he loved it. So he said, can I use it? And he's just got this big planner he's using. It's been fun to work with Lenny, and I'm still working with him. He's had some tough bumps, but it's been fun.
Well, I think that's great that you mentioned that there's been some tough problems. I think a lot of people think they get into a program or they read a book and all the problems are going to be solved and it's going to be miraculous and there's never going to be a downer, you know, time or anything that ever goes awry. And I think that's probably one of the most important things that I like folks to talk about is, you know, the concept of things happen, the concept of failing forward, the concept of learning from things that happen to you.
That's true. And you know, you start on personal development, you're going to have some moments and wake up calls along the way to say, whoa, I'm on the wrong track here. Some things have got to go. And that's going to be painful. Maybe I find out I'm in the wrong career. Maybe I want that snowboarding career after all. Maybe I found out that I come to face to face with some problems in my life that I wouldn't look at before. So there can be some tough bumps, personal development. It's not all fun and games, that's for sure. Mostly it is, but there can be some tough bumps.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your book and the Life Mastery Program as well, because I feel like a lot of people that the getting the book might be like the dipping the toes into going into the Life Mastery Program. Is that kind of how you intended for things to go?
I hope so. So I'd read all these books and there's a reading list in the book, Life Mastery book, and you can get it on the website too. I've read all those books and many, many more. I've read a ton of stuff. I've been to seminars. I've been to experiential trainings. I've done a lot of stuff. And what lacks almost every time is I get motivated. The person doing the writing or the speaking, they motivate me. I'm on board. They might give me a few ideas of what I need to do. I can figure that out myself, though, because I kind of know what I want to do. But what I never get, I'd be like, well, tell me what to do. Because I know that motivation doesn't last. Give me something to do. I'll grant you that it's probably the least interesting part of the book, but part three and how provides the methods on what you can actually do. So it's not just going to be, if you just are addicted to motivation, but not to doing anything, you might be disappointed in part three. But if you're that person, it's like, okay, I want to go. I think it's motivating. The book is motivating. I get good feedback from it. It does tell you some areas that gives you some ideas of what to do too, which is rare. But what's really rare is having, here's some systems you can use. Anybody can use these. They'll work for anybody. And if you have questions about those systems, you can email me and I'll answer them.
I love it. Yeah. That's kind of the nuts and bolts that a lot of books miss, right? They give you all these great ideas and then you don't know how to implement. And yeah. So having some templates of systems, I think is crucial. So how would folks, let's jump into that. How would folks find the way to email you, and where would they find you online so that we can guide them that way to be able to get the Life Mastery book?
The Life Mastery book is available on the website, and you get signed hardback editions on the website, which is lifemasteryinfo.com. You could obviously get the book on Amazon. Like, if it's not on Amazon, it doesn't exist, right? So you can get the book, both a hardback copy, which I always buy hardback copies. I just feel like if it's important to me, I should do that. You can also get the paperback, which is good too, because I make more money on that one. And then there's an ebook that you can get. And we're working on audiobook. In fact, this week I'll be making arrangements to get the audiobook recorded, so it will be coming soon. So lifemasteryinfo.com, there's downloads there. There's the assessment, which is also in the book. There's the reading list, which is also in the book. There's tracking sheets, which there's only a sample in the book. So you get tracking sheets off the website. And we also have, I think, a special where you can get, somebody else runs this part, a 15-minute consultation with one of our mentors for free with the assessment. So you want to do the assessment, and we can set you up with 15 minutes for somebody to go through it with you. Not a sales pitch, just talk about you and where to go next.
Nice. That's awesome. And so folks, I'm going to put all this on my website at drjkrausnd.com. And so it's going to be the lifemasteryinfo.com link there. So you can get into all of that. And of course, grabbing Sherry's book, because I think the book is going to be kind of like your manual to getting started on mastering your life. And it's from what I can tell, and this is something that, don't worry, I will be reading it. I will do updates. And quite possibly by the time I release those podcast books, I will have an update at the end as to how my foray into the book went, because I do like to do those things. So Sherry, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all about your book, your story, and giving us some insight into what we could do to help with our own potential.
Thank you. Thank you for having me and giving me a chance to share some of the things that I love. Every day is so important, isn't it? Like every day, I want every day to be the best. And I hope your listeners will feel that way too, that they want the very best out of life, because it's so grand. There's so much out there.
True. It's short. It's a short life that can absolutely be grand. You just got to take some steps and make some systems as we learn.
And every day matters. Get those systems in place as soon as you can.
There you have it, folks. Thanks for listening to Health Fix Podcast. You guys have a great day, whatever you're doing. Hey, Health Junkies. Like promised, I read Life Mastery by Sherry Fernandes.
And oh my gosh, let me tell you, I'm working on it again because it's more than just a quick read. It's something that you want to work through kind of chapter by chapter and master each section. So I highly recommend that you do check it out because it really honestly addresses a lot of the key concepts that are holding you back. And in particular, there's one section of the book that really spoke to me. And it's the section that talks about what have you been conditioned to believe about yourself that holds you back? And in particular, if it's weight loss, what about your body, you know, the body image? Or what about your earning potential, your money, your relationships, even your intellect, like how smart you are? And really, as a whole, it's what have you been conditioned to believe about yourself that's holding you back? Now, she has a lot of great topics within the book, but that one is what spoke to me the most. And it's something that I find when I'm working with patients on their health or on their potential for being healthy, for losing weight, for getting fit, it really truly is your beliefs about yourself that are holding you back. Is it self-sabotage? Quite possibly. But it's self-sabotage in a way that really goes to our core. And yeah, I'd say that I definitely have done these things over time, and I think it's something that we should all check out. So go grab Sherry's book, check it out, use it as a manual to just boost your potential as a human being, but also to boost your capacity as you and get that life that you really want.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Health Fix Podcast. This podcast was brought to you by Blue Blocks, the blue light blocking glasses. If you follow me on Instagram, you will see me wearing my computer glasses. Those are the Galaxy version. They're fabulous. I have not been having headaches in my office thanks to those awful, awful overhead lights that we have. Those buggers are blah. So anyway, blue light blocking glasses, game changers for your health. Check out them at blueblocks.com.